Hello, this is the 38th episode of the Creative Flow podcast series, hosted by Anthony Bellani and Kimberly McKernan. It features discussions with thinkers and change agents important to the science of creativity.
Our guest is Aaron Habes, a dedicated fashion and textile technology department lecturer, internship coordinator, and runway faculty director at Buffalo State University. Aaron is committed to creating a learning environment that fosters collaboration and champions diversity, equity, and inclusion. Holding a master's degree in creativity and change leadership and a bachelor's degree in fashion merchandising from Buffalo State, her role extends beyond academia into being a catalyst for inclusive fashion dialogue in the Buffalo community. Her work facilitates meaningful collaborations between students, alumni, and entrepreneurs, ensuring diverse perspectives are heard and celebrated.
Welcome, Aaron.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is it's a pleasure to be on your podcast. I am a fan of both of you. So thank you for having me.
So let's jump in. So can you please share the story of how you became involved in deliberate creativity?
Oh, gosh. So it's been a long journey. And, you know, I first of all love this deliberate creativity. I love the way that you pose that, right? So I feel like I've been creative my whole life. But when did I get on the path and get on the bandwagon with the creative studies and getting my master's at Buffalo State? It was back in 2009, and I was definitely a very active and excited creative in Buffalo. And I was producing some large scale fashion shows and started as an adjunct in the fashion program at Buffalo State. And, you know, on this pathway, I really just loved being in the creative space. And I knew that I wanted to pursue my education further. And when I learned about the program at Buff State, you know, this creative studies and how I could kind of meld this fashion world with creativity and just like you said, like make it more deliberate, make it, you know, more fine-tuned. It was just the perfect place for me. And I've never looked back. I really haven't. Joining the program really transformed my life. And it took me a long time to complete my degree, but everything happens for a reason, because I feel like within that time period, it took me about 10 years to finish my degree. And, you know, being a true creative, things are always coming into my world and collaborations, and I just want to jump on every train. And, you know, I just think that that's really what makes us creative so special. So I feel like, you know, taking that time and really building and growing with the program. It's funny because when I was prepping and really kind of thinking about our conversation today, I went back to my first paper that I ever wrote. And it was like that intro to creativity class. And it was a unique class because Roger Firestein and Gerard Puccio co-taught the course. And I feel like that was like a rare thing. Like whoever could say that they took a class with both of them co-teaching. And I wrote a paper, you know, like the I am creative, like who am I as a creative? And it was just so cool to like reflect upon, you know, my words back then, you know, in 2009, where I was in my life at that point. You know, I had just started Runway, which is my big fashion show. I started Mass Appeal, which was a, you know, really big fashion show for the Elmwood Village Association. And I started teaching as an adjunct. And now it's like 14 years later, And I'm still on that path, right? And I feel like every class and every course that I took in the program was just another puzzle piece to really get me to like who I am today.
What an exciting story. 10 years, why don't we just say that it's a very well-seasoned degree? How about that? A lot of seasoning going on there.
It is, because I saw so much change. I feel like the program itself went through so much change. And then I was going through a lot of like growth. And so every single course that I was taking, you know, on this journey, it just really kind of like gave me the building blocks to my like teaching methods, my pedagogy of like everything that I've created, the programming and everything that I've created over that amount of time.
I may have to reach out to Gerard and say, you know, we've got the distance learning, we've got the certificate. We may have to install the Aaron Habes type degree that happens over many, many years.
Right?
Anyway.
You're so tapped in. You're so tapped in. We have to be there for 10 years.
Actually, it took me a really long time.
Well, I also love that you refer to them as puzzle pieces. And this is what we're going to get into. Please share your experiences producing Runway and Mass Appeal and working with Visit Buffalo Niagara to highlight the local fashion industry. How did these puzzle pieces of creativity play a role in your success?
Yeah, so when I started to produce these big events, you know, I look back and it was such a special time in Buffalo. You know, this was like 2007, 2008, around that time. And Buffalo was just, I don't know, it was still kind of like a secret. I know we have that mural, like Keep Buffalo a Secret, but it was a special time. And there were some really incredible special creatives. We were, you know, we were young, we were thirsty. We wanted to just like dive in to the creative community and just really like stir things up. I saw a need for fashion in Buffalo. My career started off in New York City, and I knew that I always wanted to own my own store. So then when the time was right, I moved back to Buffalo and I opened my store and, you know, had so many really cool, amazing creatives that I worked with at that time. And when I started to, develop Runway and Mass Appeal, these were just literally through the amazing people that we have in this community. You know, to me, like community, creativity is community. And I think that has always been in my veins. I've always wanted to uplift voices in our community and really kind of showcase everybody's uniqueness. And so, you know, I feel like my part in Buffalo is really to be this like platform. I've always been the person who is like, you know, my students call me the plug. Oh, Miss Saves, you're the plug. But, you know, I really, it's such a great, because I plug in, you know, and I really get people involved and I get people excited. And I think my enthusiasm has really been such a great part of, you know, my time here and the things that I've been a part of. But, you know, really kind of going back to that, you know, creativity and community. I think that when I first started Runway, it was, oh my gosh, let me bring what I learned and saw and in New York City, and I wanted to bring this to Buffalo, and I wanted to have a red carpet event, and I wanted to have like a step and repeat and photographers, and I wanted to just bring like a cool vibe. And so I'm the type of person that just doesn't sit there and like wait for things to happen. I'm a make it happen person. So I just kind of like dove in. And then Mass Appeal was the same. You know, it was kind of like this domino effect, right? So I start Runway. And then the people that, you know, I mean, Runway was, it was the first one was at the Albert Knox, and it was a gusto free Friday night. 2,500 people showed up and 500 people were let in to the space because we couldn't fit, well, one fire code. But so like all those people that didn't get into that show, I feel like that Buffalo was just so thirsty at that time, you know? And so, you know, the people, one of the people that was in the, you know, the space to see the first Runway, Justin Azzarella, was like, oh my gosh, we have to do like something like this for the Elmwood Village Association. And then we created Mass Appeal. And Mass Appeal became this, like, I'm like a people collector. I love to like work with people and I vibe with them. And I love to kind of like, get, you know, have this platform to just really allow for play and for creativity. And so Mass Appeal ended up becoming this really great event that was like all levels of like the Buffalo community, the Elmwood Village community, where it was like, you know, designers, boutique owners, it was artists, it was just all these different layers of business owners and creatives. And it was just this really beautiful event. And it showed because the end product, the fashion show itself, I mean, for those people that were in that space of the Lafayette Presbyterian Church, you know, with like 1,000 candles on the altar and then models, you know, coming down like the runway, it was a special place. It was a special time. And so I think if I look back at how I got started, it was really, you know, one, just kind of like this, I wanted to bring community together, and fashion for me was my expression. And I feel like it still is for this community. You know, it just shows the artistic vibe that we have here, and it's really special. So it was like the perfect things that align.
Tell us about your Visit Buffalo Niagara work.
Yeah, so, you know, being a business owner at that point, I definitely saw that, I felt the struggles that small business owners, and I hate that term, small business, there's nothing small about being a business owner, but I felt like Buffalo really didn't have wasn't on my side. Like, where was the promotion? All the magazines that I was reading at that time were doing features on, you know, cities and like the creative community and the fashion, and Buffalo was never really a part of the conversation. And to me, that was really a driving force to, I think, how I got started, was like, why isn't anybody talking about us? I'm like, we're really, it's just so great. And it's so special here. And we've got such incredible talent. I wanted to go on the top of a building and just shout it out. Visit Buffalo Niagara, when they approached me, it was funny because I was the host of, they asked me to be the host of a shopping video. And it's just funny when you think about all the different like puzzle pieces that make up who you are. But I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have any acting experience, you know, but they're like, oh no, I think you'd be great. And so I was this host, and I took everybody on this fashion tour of Buffalo, going to all of the different districts and really showcasing all the incredible, beautiful boutiques, and that we were like a shopping destination. We are. And so I think VBN saw my special connection to the community and my drive for really getting the word out there about fashion and shopping. And they were like, well, why don't we, you know, let's partner, let's do a shopping guide. And so I worked with VBN for quite some time, over 5 years, really honing and helping them kind of really talk about the different pockets of retail throughout Buffalo and giving a voice for our boutiques and it just it was a great time. I miss it. I miss it, and I actually, it's funny because this has been on my mind. I feel like Buffalo needs that again.
That's a great idea.
I feel like the pandemic really cut, and we've got some broken links. And I feel like the development of the different shopping areas in our city, I feel like we need to spend some time and really kind of like think about what they look like now.
Strong point.
So, Erin, you are passionate about the concept that creativity thrives in a community that values diversity and inclusivity. Tell us some success stories you have experienced working with communities.
This is, you know, really the driving force behind everything that I'm doing now and have been for the past. I feel like everything that I've done, you know, I've always been very like diversity focused. But I think the inclusivity element is something that, you know, I've been on a path and a journey to really learn about myself, learn about our community and ways that I can really uplift Black and Brown voices within our community and at Buffalo State. I feel that when the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, when that came out, Runway is just really my megaphone for getting, for talking about things, and it's a platform to really share and amplify voices. And so it was the perfect thing to just be like, okay, we need to rethink things. We need to really think about our community. I think it was like from a Buffalo community perspective and the Buffalo State fashion perspective of really championing, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, and here I am. I'm a white woman. And I'm saying Black, and we did it was in 2021, Runway's focus. We always have a focus for that particular, for each year, we have a focus that we do. And I felt very, very led to, for this to be a Black Lives Matter. Like I wanted the show, the focus, I wanted to really, really, you know, talk about this, to use fashion as a form of expression. And so what we did was it was called History Retailored, and we really started to look at the whitewashing of the fashion industry in the textbooks and everything that, you know, I feel like that I've been taught going through everything that I have, you know, with a 20-year career of being in this fashion industry. And just felt very led to, you know, refocus and have it be, okay, we're going to talk and celebrate Black fashion designers. And I'm going to build this into the programming for Runway moving forward, that it is so important for us to be uplifting, you know, the Black and Brown community in Buffalo, you know. And it's like, what does that look like? I think that diversity, you know, oh, this is really great. Diversity sometimes can be a lot, very performative, you know, especially in the fashion industry where you're like, oh, you know, you can have a Black model on a, you know, advertisement for a poster, right? But the piece for me is the inclusivity. You know, it's like, who's at the table? What creatives are you bringing to the actual table that is on the ground level of what you are building is so crucial. And if anybody like walks away from this conversation with anything, is that look at who's at your table and really kind of like process that. And if you don't have those voices, at that table and giving them equity and building equity into it, then you're doing it wrong because you don't have a diverse perspective in whatever, you know, you're doing with your business. So it's just, it's become really important. And, you know, it's every year we keep building upon this and we keep working with incredible creatives of color in our community. And it's so important for me to be doing this, even more so because of, you know, my students. And, you know, 60% of my students are Black and brown. And if I don't have and show them representation within this creative community and actually have them see themselves, then, you know, I'm doing it wrong.
Such a, it's so powerful what you said, but the structure that you referred to is where few people ever go. And, you know, you talked briefly about checking boxes, but the idea that you're bringing all these people and assuring, not only bringing them to the table, but assuring them to sit at the table and then leading them to have a voice is pretty powerful. Yeah. Leading into that, you know, so you're obviously a force to be reckoned with here in the community. And it's been noticed, obviously, through tourism, through business people in town and at school. And in the fashion industry itself, I imagine in Buffalo and well beyond, and your work as an entrepreneur. And you talked earlier about how you love the words deliberate and creativity together. How do you see deliberate creativity working within all of that into the future?
Oh, looking into the crystal ball. Well, it's more so like, I think it's two pronged. I think that, you know, the future, what does the future of creativity look like? I am very excited about AI. And I know that's like, oh, some people are like, okay, I'm not going to even go, you know, it's unknown. We don't know. Oh my gosh. But I think that, you know, being a creative, using it as a brainstorming tool is like a whole nother level. Okay. And I really do see, like, I know that there's probably resistance, but, you know, just, it's been an amazing tool. I've started to work with it. Actually, our focus for Runway coming up in April 2024, our focus is True Delusion. And we are going to be looking at mental health challenges. And I used AI to work with my students and brainstorming, where we would run, we would brainstorm, you know, the stick it up method, brainstorm, really kind of get it out there. Thinking about, you know, trend forecasting, we look at WGSN, which is a trend forecasting service that we work with. And, you know, we look at our big vision for 2025. We take that, we brainstorm off of that. And what I ended up doing was I ran all of it through ChatGPT to really kind of like, you know, form, you know, just some different ideas and kind of take those ideas and build off of them. And I'm telling you what I gave to my students and said, okay, this is, I want you to take this. This is what, you know, AI had generated. And I want you to pick and choose what makes sense to you. Like, I want you to pick what the theme is. And then they pitched their ideas to the Runway crew. And all of it, we were just blown away, absolutely blown away. And then I used AI to then, you know, take that theme that we, you know, nailed down, that True Delusion theme. And then how can students use True Delusion? And actually it was like it's like True Delusion. It's the phases of the moon, because the eclipse is actually 2 weeks before the event on April 20th. So we, you know, I'm like, it's the year of totality. We have to have some kind of like connection to it. So I took it and I said, you know, okay, take this year of totality, this phases, this is eclipse, true delusion. And then how might students be inspired by this for fashion to create a collection? I tell you guys what it came up. I was like, this is amazing. And I built a whole PowerPoint for my students and really illustrating these little examples that AI, you know, gave. And the seniors presented a couple weeks ago, one of the best presentations that I've seen. I've been doing runway. I'm going into my 17th show, and the level of creativity and connection to the theme, you know, it's on another level. So for me, you know, AI, harnessing it as a tool, as a prototyping tool, just brilliant, as a brainstorming method. I can't say enough. It's my graduate assistant, and you know, I should come up with a name instead of calling it just AI. But so that's right. It should be like, I don't know, like Susan. Like, thank you, Susan, for helping me. So like for me, that's one component for future of creativity. I'm excited to see where this goes. The second part is really focusing on within, and this is like my fashion perspective and even like what I'm teaching my students and what I feel like I'm being led to teach them is a focus on design thinking and, you know, in fashion thinking, putting a focus on empathy. In the fashion industry, like if we aren't talking about sustainability and how we are actually going to be moving forward with intention, because and I just read a book recently. It was called "The World Is on Fire, But We're Still Buying Shoes." It's powerful. Think about it. You know, we are on that consumer treadmill, and we just keep buying, even though that, you know, we know, you know, that there are landfills upon landfills, you know, filled with, you know, fast fashion and clothing that's been discarded. And so, you know, as an educator, you know, teaching within this fashion space, it is so important for us to really be focusing on empathy and really understanding that we have a lot of responsibility for the products that we are actually making. And that I want my students to be very intentional with what they're making and the products that they're making. And so this design thinking is super important and crucial for them to start to think about the end user and having empathy. Because just making a t-shirt, you know, okay, yeah, that t-shirt's great. But what if you were really to do some research on, let's say like the plus size community? Designers, they might have a couple, you know, plus size models on their runway. That's great. It's all performative because they don't have a plus size line that a plus size woman or male, you know, could get in a store. So you can't walk into that store and you can't buy that. So, you know, maybe they have it online. So there are a lot of things that we need to address within the fashion space about inclusivity. And so I think that having empathy with everything that we're developing and designing with intention is very, very important. And I'm trying to get my students to think that way. I just started, I developed a fashion and creativity course. I changed my fashion fundamental, which is like the first course that students take in our department. And I changed it from fashion fundamentals to fashion and creativity. And this is the work that I'm really building into it and teaching them how to think this way. And so I'm really excited to see where all of this goes.
Sounds fun. I agree. So tell us about an upcoming event you're planning as a place for creatives to get together.
Yes. So my friend Luke Copping and I, we got together and we were talking about just really what the pandemic has done to our creative community here in Buffalo and just the silos that I feel like that have been created. So much like we're on our phones, we're being tasked with doing way more work than ever before. We felt that, you know, really like everybody had kind of blinders on and we were all in our own little silos. And so we were like, I think we need to have like some kind of mixer event, you know, like let's just get people together. And let's just, you know, have a space, an open space to where like, you know, creatives can come together. And so we decided to, you know, start this event. It's called Muse. And it's something that we're going to be doing quarterly. And the first one is January 18th at 7 p.m. at Twin Petrels on Niagara Street. And you know, it's, I think it goes back to the, you know, what I said before of like creativity is community. And one of the things that we've been lacking is an actual physical space for everybody to come together. And because really, I know that that's been my experience here is that when you're out and about, you're at an art show and you're seeing people and you're talking in conversation. Conversation is like that, really like that key point, right? Sharing ideas, bouncing things back and forth. That's where these, you know, this creative community has really kind of thrived off of. And I feel like a link has been definitely broken. And so kind of rebuilding that bridge and allowing for people to kind of come into a space and just kind of talk and, you know, have your elevator pitch and, you know, just talk to somebody new and hopefully some creativity is going to be, you know, is going to spark from those conversations.
Well, we love to ask every speaker and the answers are so varied and lovely. Tell us about your creative flow.
What's my creative flow? You know, I think that my creative flow is really, I think it stems from conversation. I love, you know, really kind of talking to people and really kind of like finding out their why and what, you know, what's that spark that really sparks their creativity. And I feed off of that. So, you know, I'm definitely like a people collector. I love working with certain, you know, with different creatives and, you know, bringing them in and just kind of allowing to see kind of where their creative thoughts go and what they want to bring to the table. You know, I'm very blessed to have, you know, the platform that I do that I have. And, you know, in order to just kind of like keep that going, I love just vibing with people and kind of bringing everybody to the table and then like seeing like what we come up with. And it's always magic. It's unbelievable. And I was just talking to my fashion styling students, you know, because we just did this big photo shoot for Runway for next year. And it's our campaign for True Delusion. And we didn't have a lot of time to actually put it together. So, which is, I'm like, real world. So we had like a couple of weeks to get it off the ground and to find models and, you know, all this stuff and to style. And they're like, Miss Ames, oh my God, we don't have enough time. And I said, now just trust the process. Okay. You know, I know because I've been doing it for so long, when you have those incredible people that you trust and that, you know, have just, they're creative and they do such great work. you bring them all to the in one space, and it's absolute magic what ends up happening. And I think that that is my creative flow. I just love kind of, you know, pulling it's a back to that, like the puzzle pieces, you know, it's everybody is just so unique and different shaped, and you kind of put those puzzle pieces together. And then, you know, it was interesting to have that wrap up conversation after the photo shoot. And they were like, oh, now we get it. I said, okay, good. Well, I did my job, and, you know, I showed them the way of, you know, when you do pull people together. And, you know, it's funny because, like, when I read that first paper that I ever wrote, I pulled a lot of quotes from Richard Florida, you know, this like creativity is community, like community is creativity. Like, and that really, I think even, you know, like more than 10 years ago, like it that stuck with me and really kind of made such an impact and kind of helped, you know, it's like that deliberate creativity. This was my, you know, this was giving me a framework that I needed to kind of like put things together and to give me that, you know, that kind of foundation to really, you know, build this into my pedagogy of, you know, with Runway and with my teaching practice.
Great. Thank you so much, Erin.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening. This is Anthony Bellani
and Kimberly McKernan.
We invite you to tune in again to the Creative Flow series. We hope you will translate your creative flow into action and that your actions change the world.